Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins Life in Taxes. And boy, life is ever-changing, but so too is the tax code. And right as we speak in Washington, D.C., they're making that sausage right now and that infrastructure bill, hoping to come to a vote later this week. They're running out of time if it's later this week.
Yeah, running out of time. October 31st deadline.
Yeah.
Self-imposed deadline on the Democrats there.
But it's not going to cost anything.
Exactly. Zero.
Zero.
You love to hear that, don't you? Get your hands on your wallets and that when they talking about zero.
It's funny. It's not going to cost zero anything, according to the administration, yet they're chopping out parts of the infrastructure bill, now bringing it down into the $2 trillion range, yeah, somewhere around there, even though it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll see how that all gets shaken out, Mike. I mean, you know, obviously we've got our eyes on that situation in Washington to find out what is Joe Manchin going to allow and what is Kyrsten Sinema ultimately going to allow to be in that bill, mm-hmm, because they're the ones who are the gatekeepers at this point in time to control what is the total number of spending going to be. You know, Joe Manchin says no more than $1.5 trillion is what number he's got on the horizon. Kyrsten Sinema has put down the gauntlet that she wants the bipartisan infrastructure bill passed prior to,
yeah,
the reconciliation bill. Who knows? But I think this October 31st deadline, as we start ticking into the later days of March, it doesn't look like it's going to be a very happy Halloween for the Democrats at this point in time.
They're starting to eat their young. The progressives want a lot more, and the moderates, like,
yeah,
Manchin and
that's right,
Arizona.
So we'll keep our eyes on it. From what I've read, if they miss the October 31st deadline, they will have obviously till the end of the year, because we mentioned hard to get something done in an election year, which 2022 is. So therefore, it looks like if they don't get anything passed by the end of this month, then you're looking for, can they get something done?
Yeah, and you're running into the holidays, and they start taking off around mid-November,
yeah,
for the entire holidays. Washington shuts down, which,
exactly,
is usually a good thing. But then you're right, coming into January, you're in 22 already. Now you're into the countdown to the midterms.
That's right.
Both primaries and the general.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wanted to turn our attention today, Mike, we'll keep our eyes on that, obviously, to the story that I spoke of last week, because we had two developments in this sordid tale of the Murdoch family down in South Carolina.
A scion, an icon in the legal.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the Murdoch family, down in Hampton County, South Carolina, they had been the solicitor, which is basically a district attorney,
right,
for over 100 years in this particular county,
yeah,
in judicial district down in South Carolina. And, now we end up having this family in a drama-filled saga,
mm-hmm,
and we focused on just one aspect of that, which is this Gloria Satterfield, who is the housekeeper for the Murdochs, who died allegedly by slipping and falling
inside their home.
Yeah. And then, of course, Alec Murdoch says, hey, let me take you to a lawyer, children, Tony and Brian, and we'll make sure we get you some money, and I'll admit fault to this. We'll take you to Corey Fleming, who was my college roommate. Let's get a wrongful death action filed, and, you know, you guys are going to get money in your pockets. So just, you know, enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way this all started. Well, it ended just shortly after our program.
Yeah, the news broke after you came off the air.
Correct.
Yeah.
With Alec Murdoch getting arrested and charged with two counts of obtaining property by false pretenses, which is what we talked about during last week's show.
Right.
And there was a bond hearing this past week in which Alec Murdoch received no bond. So he is sitting in jail as we speak.
Yeah.
The state asked for a $200,000 bond with a GPS monitor.
Mm-hmm.
The defense asked for no bond, just release on his personal recognizances. And the family of Gloria Satterfield, through their attorney, asked for no bond. But
that,
in the minimum, they wanted $4.3 million, which was the amount of the settlement.
Right. Yeah. Just to pick a number out of the air.
And the judge determined that, hey, you need further evaluation, psychiatric evaluation, and we're not going to take up the bond issue. So you're in jail as we speak, and we'll take up the bond issue at a later date, you know, pending this psychological evaluation of Alex Murdoch.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, and what I really wanted to focus in on today's show, is the details that came out, Mike, about this alleged scheme to defraud Gloria Satterfield's
children.
Family.
Yeah, do tell.
So, we talked about how this worked. We talked about how there was a settlement of $4.3 million in two parts. One was a $500,000 settlement for a homeowner's policy. One was a $3.8 million settlement for an umbrella insurance policy for a total of $4.3 million. Turns out, Mike, that following the money, it turns out that when they got the first settlement of $500,000, $403,000 of that went to Forge. And we talked about how this Forge was actually Richard Alex Murdoch doing business as Forge.
Mm-hmm.
So of the 505 that was received from the first settlement, he got 403 into this Forge bank account, which Forge, by the way, is Forge Consulting LLC, is the real entity, and that's a structured settlement agency to basically provide an annuity for an individual over time.
And that's the intent, or what they believed on paper was to go to Forge LLC.
To create a structured settlement.
Yeah, it kind of missed the state. It stayed in South Carolina at Forge.
Correct. Stayed in Richard Alex Murdoch, DBA Forge. So therefore, and by March, so this happened in January of 2019, and by March, all of that money had been transferred into Alex Murdoch's personal checking account. Then fast forward to May, the $3.8 million section of this settlement, remember, $2.7 million on paper was supposed to go to the beneficiaries, go to the estate of Gloria Satterfield, ultimately will end up in her children's pockets.
Right.
Instead, $2.961 million, which really doesn't make any sense when you look at the numbers, but $2.961 million ends up going to Forge.
Again. Wow.
And that was, again, Richard Alec Murdoch, DBA Forge, so the fake bank account. And in just a few short months, he had already transferred all of that nearly $3 million out of his account. $100,000 went to pay off a personal credit card. $300,000 went to his father. $610,000 to himself under just a check written to himself. Another $125,000 and a check to himself. I mean, here you go. It's going to be very difficult to argue the paper in this particular.
Because you have such a paper trail.
A paper trail.
Yeah. And you talk about obtaining property by false pretense, and then you're wiring all this money. He's looking at a lot of felonies now in criminal court.
Yes. Obviously, we have two charges of obtaining property by false pretenses, and now the state laid out a case which is just, I mean, I don't want to say ironclad, but I mean, you can't get much more detailed than what they went through at this bond hearing. Interestingly enough, this bank account, this Richard Alex Murdoch DBA Forge, was formed in 2015. Gloria Satterfield didn't die until 2018.
Yeah.
So the question is, how many more victims are there?
Yeah, that filtered through that.
Because this could have been a scheme that was ongoing, obviously, since at least 2015 in this arena.
It's like a money laundering organization.
But maybe even before that, you know, depending on how these different scams and schemes and conspiracies took shape. I mean, I said last week, and I encourage all of our listeners to go to harvellandcollins.com and listen to our program for a detailed explanation about how we got here with this bond hearing and this detail out by a judge in South Carolina. But it's really the most head-scratching thing I've ever seen, with petitions that were not filed but heard by judges in South Carolina, with numbers that are on settlement agreements that really aren't the amount of disbursements that go out of that account. I mean, no accountability, to the family in this regard. Personal representatives of the state who have fiduciary duties, who I deal with on a day-to-day basis and explain to them, you know, you have to be careful and the money has to go where the money needs to go in these particular matters. And here it is, just completely run roughshod over by, I guess, a family who believed they were above the law. Above the law.
Well, you can bet the boys and girls at the IRS are
looking
at tax returns now to see. Let's follow, like you say, follow the money.
That's the next thing. Yeah. So we've got state charges of obtaining property by false pretenses, but we all know that these state charges are likely to lead to federal charges, mail fraud, wire fraud.
Exactly.
You know, you mentioned money laundering is a possibility. What about the taxes?
Yeah.
Here he is benefiting to the extent of almost $3.5 million guarantee you a dime of that didn't end up on a tax return for Alex Murdoch. Yeah. No way in the world.
And the people that were in his web too, as you mentioned, his father was a recipient of some sum of money too.
Yeah,
let's see what dad's taxes look like.
And he's you know
a lot of people down.
And it's interesting because he's always been able to, you know, regardless of all the sordid tales and everything, Alex has always been able to get out of jail at least for the time being.
Yeah.
And then to have a judge tell you, you're in.
Yeah, that's
you're in. No bond.
I found it interesting on the judge's part to say no bond. I mean, judges are elected officials, and they all know one another inside that courtroom. That was a pretty bold move by the judge.
Well, especially
to side with the family.
And think about it. Yeah, they sided with the family.
Yeah.
Because the state only asked for $200,000 plus GPS monitor.
He could have pulled that out of his pocket, back pocket.
So that's what the state asked for, but yet he listened to all the evidence that was presented, and I think it was just so daunting that he said, I can't give this guy bond under this facts and circumstances, because the case was so well laid out by the prosecution, the Attorney General in South Carolina. And it's just, like I said, it's very difficult for you to argue those facts when you've got names on checks.
Yeah.
So just a sad situation. I mean, this goes to show you know, you really have to, you really be careful. You know, choose the right people to get involved with. You know, make sure the individuals you deal with have honesty and integrity. Because sometimes these power players who look really good on paper and think they can get away with anything, yep, look where it might get you.
And it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion, Andrew, too. Yeah. So if you're in one of these deals and you haven't bounced that, what you're doing, talk to Harvell and Collins too.
No doubt.
Say, hey, am I going down the right road on this? Hopefully you are. But if not, call 252-726-9050. And as Andrew said, go onto the website to hear the rest of the story, harvellandcollins.com. Thanks, Andrew.